lives? Who dies? Who tells your story? 50 years after Alexander Hamilton's death in a duel, his wife Eliza is reaching the end of her very long life. She's collected her husband's thousands of pages of writing. She interviewed every soldier who served with him in the Revolutionary War. She raised funds for the Washington Monument, spoke out against slavery, founded the first private orphanage in New York City, all in a focused, intense, impassioned effort to do what Alexander might have if he hadn't run out of time. Still, she asks, "When my time is up, have I done enough? Tell your story." Eliza knows what any historian can tell you. Stories have to be told if they're going to survive. When there isn't anyone to carry on the narrative, when the people or the documents or the artifacts have gone, the stories die. And the story Eliza tells is rooted in who she knows Alexander Hamilton to have been. Brilliant, driven, combative, tragically short-sighted when it came to his relationships with women, filled with energy, in danger of being unsung, only because he didn't live as long as the other founders. She knew who she married. She loved him. So she tells his story. I ought to warn you now that this is likely only the first of many sermons to make use of Lin-Manuel Miranda's hit musical Hamilton. I am not much into musical theater, so I'm late to this phenomenon. My sister gave me the soundtrack for Christmas, and I've been listening to it more or less nonstop since. I already have to restrain myself from preaching on Harry Potter more than once a year. I am going to have to do the same with Hamilton, too. But I promise this is not a gratuitous reference. There's a real connection between who lives, who dies, who tells your story, and the baptism of Jesus. It's curious that Jesus is baptized at all. John has been calling people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn away from your sins, he says. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. For one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. But Jesus has nothing to repent for. Christian theology traditionally understands him to be without sin. And John sees Jesus as sinless too. As Matthew tells it, John tries to stop Jesus. No, no, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? Jesus tells him it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. That word righteousness has to do with obeying God's will. Another translation of the gospel gives a clearer version of Jesus' words. It is right for us to do all that God requires. And what does God require of Jesus, of John, of this moment? It's what happens after the baptism, as Jesus is coming up from the water. Jesus sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." That voice, those words, are a public experience. The voice doesn't say, "You are my Son." It says, "This is my Son." The voice is directed to John and to the crowds gathered there at the Jordan. That's what God requires, that these people hear and know who Jesus is. As Matthew tells the story, the knowledge of who Jesus is had been gradually expanding, like ripples that move out from a stone dropped in water. It began with Joseph, learning through a dream that his adoptive son would save their people. It rippled out to the wise men, who observed the rising star and came to pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews. It spread further to King Herod, who was so threatened by the appearance of a rival that he sought to have Jesus killed. Now that knowledge of who Jesus is ripples out still further to John the Baptist and the crowd. It's the first public expression of Jesus' identity and mission, according to Matthew. It's the introduction of the Son of God to the people he is going to save. This is what God requires, for Jesus to go public about who he is and why he is here. Why is it important for people to know who Jesus is? Because that's the story they will tell about him. And the story of Jesus needs to be told if it's going to survive, if it truly is going to save and give life to his people. I think that's why Jesus focuses on this question later in John's gospel. After the disciple, Matthew's gospel. After the disciples had been traveling with Jesus through Galilee for several months, Jesus asks them, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" It's another way of asking, "What stories are people telling about me?" The disciples reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus asks, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus blesses Peter and says, "On this rock I will build my church." I think he means, "On the rock of this story I will build my church. This is the story that will ripple out through you, Peter, beyond my lifetime and yours." Jesus, like Alexander Hamilton, was running out of time. Before long, all that would be left of him was the disciples' knowledge of him as the Son of God, the Beloved, and the story that they would tell. The Acts of the Apostles, the letters of Paul, they have a pace as frenetic as that of Eliza Hamilton. The disciples are traveling everywhere, always on the move across the entire known world. They tell the story of Jesus through their preaching, their healing of the sick, their care of the poor and vulnerable, their letters, their words upon words upon words, their endurance of suffering, and eventually their deaths. The constant energy, all that nonstop energy, tells the story that Jesus is God's Son, the Beloved, and the kingdom of heaven is near. The disciples knew Jesus, they loved him, they told his story. And because they did, that story has lived all this time. It has come to us, and it is our turn, our time, to tell his story. So that moment there by the Jordan River is for us too. With John, with the crowds, we stand on the riverbank. Water drips off of us, eddies of mud form between our toes. We see Jesus emerge from the river, water soaking his clothes and cascading off of him, and we hear the voice from heaven, everywhere yet nowhere, say, "This is my Son, the Beloved." And that question Jesus puts to his disciples, that's for us too. We stop by the side of the road and wipe the dust from our faces, and we turn to Jesus as he says, "Who do you say that I am? What is the story that you tell about me?" Who is Jesus to you? Perhaps he's one of those biblical images, Son of God, teacher, healer, bread of life, suffering servant, risen one. Your experience of Jesus may shape who he is for you beyond those common images, as companion, friend, animating spirit, destination. Or maybe he's more of a mystery, someone you've heard of but long to know for yourself. Perhaps a person who intrigues and baffles you at the same time. What story do you tell about Jesus? What story does your life tell about him? How does his story ripple out through you beyond your lifetime? I think of the 50 years that Eliza Hamilton told Alexander's story, of the hundreds of thousands of hours she spent going through his papers, tracking down people who knew him, raising money, finding a site and a staff and children for the orphanage, writing and giving speeches. And I wonder how the story of Jesus could spread if we brought that kind of energy to telling his story. If we let the story of Jesus permeate our lives until we became his story. That's the thing, we are the story of Jesus. He lives on because of us. He lives on in us. He lives on in our interactions with friends, neighbors, and coworkers, in the choices we make with our money and our time, in our prayers and chores and grocery shopping and standing in line for coffee and getting the car washed. In the way we live our lives, we tell the story of Jesus. Who lives? Who dies? Who tells your story? The disciples lived, and they told Jesus' story in all the ways they could, for as long as they could, to all the people they possibly could. Because of them, the story of Jesus came down to us 2,000 years later. And now it's our turn to live, and until we die, to tell his story.